All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. It's Dark Month, Gore Screaming Show. You know what it, you already know the drill. It's Dark Month, we're bringing you more. Not an hour, 30 minutes, but we'll be doing a lot more Gore Screaming Show, so, you know. Huh? I mean, we use propane gas around here. Usually you have some gas cylinders by the kitchen, right? Yeah. And we just made a lap around the house, but we didn't see anything like that, right? I don't think so, but still, people are starting to go all electric, right? And she did brew us tea the other day. Even as he suggests this, though, Kyoji finds it hard to believe that this mansion would contain such modern appliances, but he says it anyway. Maybe, but... this might sound strange, but... What? Do you think that those people, I mean, Yuka-chan and that Gore guy, do you think they eat and go to the bathroom like we do? I mean, yeah, they'd have to. The words come out after only a pause. Excuse me, the words come out only after a pause. He gets the feeling that she knows he's harboring the same doubt she has. This is creepy. I guess this is what it really means for something to be unfathomable. Akane's words perfectly voice how Kyoji feels. Unfathomable. It's the best description for Yuka, for Gore, for this entire mansion. Feeling a strange chill, Kyoji looks up at the mansion. But what do we do now? There's no sign of Yatsushi-san here. For now, let's head back. Maybe he ended up going home. Besides, Kyoji is with Akane right now, so he can't afford to be reckless. Yeah, let's hurry home then. Akane looks relieved. But Yoshiki never returned. Kyoji was hoping to find him back at home, sitting there as if nothing had ever happened, playing the guitar. He was holding on to that faint hope when he came in through the apartment door, but he was only greeted by silence. Yamako, who returned home holding a plastic bag full of bento boxes, pouts upon learning that Yoshiki isn't home. What? Yoshiki's still out? Seriously, these aren't going to eat themselves. Kyoji says nothing, only silently digging into his own bento. Unable to find the right words to say to her, he keeps quiet and eats. Maybe he should have gone into the mansion after all. He returns to his room and falls onto his bed. Staring up at the ceiling, that's all he can think about. The way Yoshiki disappeared into the rain with a broken arm, insisting that they didn't go looking for him, fills his thoughts. Kyoji doesn't know what Yoshiki's trying to achieve, but there's definitely something pushing him onwards. Whatever that is, it must have something to do with Yuka and Gore. Damn it. Irritation, frustration, regret, these emotions gnaw at his heart. The more time goes by, the stronger those emotions become. He can't help but feel that he should have gone inside the mansion after all. That surely would have been better than being tormented by regrets like this. Impatience courses through his body. His restlessness makes the idea of staying here and doing nothing for even just one more hour completely unbearable. But he feels another emotion too, one that he doesn't want to admit. Recognizing it would cause everything to crumble around him. It would destroy his peaceful daily routine of waking up, having breakfast, and going to school with Akane. Things would never go back to normal. God damn it, what am I supposed to do? He collapses onto his pillow. The night outside is dark without so much as a glimmer of moonlight. The kind of night where someone could really lose himself. Next day. Let's go. Yeah. As always, Akane comes to walk with him to school, but he can't even manage a smile. Not that that's anything new. He got hardly any sleep last night. When he did manage to doze off, he only ended up jolting awake from strange dreams, and so it went, again and again. Akane looks quite glum, too. We're off, Yamako-san. When he calls out for her from the front door, Yamako peeks out at him and gestures for him to come closer. Ah, morning, Akane-chan. Kyo-chan, I'm sorry to ask when you're heading off to school, but do you have a sec? What is it? Yes, well, you see... Yamako lowers her voice as she puts her face close to Kyoji's. You don't happen to know where Yoshiki went, do you? He wordlessly shakes his head. Yoshiki did not ask him to tell Yamako anything. Really? Fearing he might blurt the truth out if he opens his mouth, he simply nods. Sorry, Akane's waiting. With those parting words, he leaves the house. For the rest of the day, he can't focus on class. It's a strange feeling. Everything he hears sounds muffled, like there's a bubble around him. Trite lines like, "This'll be on the test," just don't feel real. The same thoughts that have been haunting him since last night still torment his heart. By the time school ends, Kyoji has made up his mind. When homeroom ends, he immediately gets to his feet. Without even gathering his things, he bolts straight for the door. Akane approaches him suspiciously, gripping her bag. Huh? Kyoji, where are you going? The bathroom. You going to club? Yeah, I should, but I'm not sure. You'll get kicked off the team if you miss too much practice. Hop to it now. He speaks curtly to her on purpose and leaves the classroom before she can reply. He jogs down the corridor for a while, turning around before going down the stairs. There's no sign of Akane following him. Okay! He nods to himself as he hurries down the stairs, taking them two steps at a time. Akane won't follow him now. He's concerned about the weird things Yuka said about her, but as long as she's at her club practice, she'll be surrounded by people, which means she'll be out of harm's way. He swiftly changes into his street shoes at the Foot Lockers before sprinting across the schoolyard. As soon as he leaves the school building, he turns onto the road leading up to Mount Nishimori. There's probably another hour or two before the sun sets. Despite that, the shade of the thick trees here makes it look as though night's already fallen. He climbs up the steps, takes the side street, then goes down the trail he seemed to be walking along quite often recently. He can feel his pulse throbbing frantically inside his skull. His breath comes short and fast, and his chest feels tight, but his mind is clear. Today he'll go inside. He'll find out what happened to Yoshiki at all costs. Did Yoshiki go into that mansion? Is he still there? If he isn't, where did he go? How is his injured arm doing? On the off chance something happened to him, if they are, say, keeping him there, Kyoji has to save him. Some part of him thinks these things only happen in manga or video games, but it feels like, given what's going on between Yoshiki and Yuka, such a scenario is entirely possible. What if he gets caught sneaking in? If he runs into Yuka's mother, that's fine, but if he's stopped by Yuka and Gore, he'll just throw Yuka's words back at them. I came here to see you, she said to him. What, is that not allowed? It's fine, I'll manage. At worst, even if they end up trapping him like last time, he made sure to leave his bag at school. Someone will eventually notice that, get suspicious, and do something. Kyoji stands there between the two large trees that serve as a gate of sorts to the mansion, trying to muster his courage. Hiding in the shade of the trees, he slowly approaches the mansion. The large building is as silent as the grave, making his footsteps seem to echo more loudly than he would like. He remembers the back door they found yesterday. Maybe he'd be able to get in through here. Or there, rather. He silently makes his way to the back door. Upon closer inspection, he glimpses a round, golden object between the vines covering the door, probably the doorknob. He timidly pulls aside the vines and gingerly grabs onto it. The metal's chill clings to his palm as he twists the knob. It's open. His heart pounds so hard it's almost painful. He gently pushes on the door. The way it creaks as it cracks open makes his heart skip a few beats. The vines get in the way of it opening properly, but it's open enough to let him peek inside. His eyes aren't used to the dark, causing him to blink repeatedly. But after a short time, the sight washes over him all at once. Threads of light spill in from the vine-covered window. The place is full of trash bags and dirty dishware. They aren't stacked together in any way, rather they appear to have been haphazardly discarded across the floor. The room has been closed for so long that the air has gone stale, reeking of the sour smell of excrement. There's no one to be seen. Maybe he can sneak in undetected now. As he peers inside, he tears away just enough of the vines to allow the door to open. Once the door is open wide enough for him to slip through, he goes inside. A sink sits on the long wall of the oblong room. Opposite him is a filthy wooden door with a small glass window, its frame covered with a layer of dust. On the other side of that window is a long corridor. The interior is deathly silent. Kyoji can't feel anyone's presence. Maybe no one's home. The mansion is devoid of any and all sound. I think I've had this thought before. This sort of silence seems familiar to him as if he experienced it recently. What was it again? He peers through the window of the door, confirming the corridor is empty, and he reaches for the knob. But then, he thinks he hears a small sound coming from the door behind him. The one he entered the mansion through. Even as he opens the door in front of him, he is momentarily distracted by what's behind him. He hesitates for a split second. Should he turn around or not? Welcome. Kyoji's breath catches in his throat. Yuka is standing on the other side of the open door. How? No one was there when he looked through the window. He only glanced away for a split second. So how did she get there? As Kyoji stands there, still unable to breathe properly, Yuka smiles at him. I figured you'd be coming about right... you'd be coming right about now. You went back home without coming in yesterday, right? You weren't there a second ago. When did you get here? Of course I knew you'd come here, Kyoji. Yuka innocently takes his arm in hers. Hey, since you're here, why don't you stay for dinner? I had Mother make us a real feast. You want to know what happened to that old Yoshiki guy, right? Yuka smiles again at a confused Kyoji, then calls out as if to no one in particular. Look, I don't like you, but you may as well come in. Why don't you join us for dinner too? Huh? I know you're there, One-chan. He hears the door creak behind him. Akane comes into view wearing an awkward expression. Akane, you... She says nothing, standing there with an unwavering expression and her lips pursed. And standing behind her is a dark-clad shadow. Gore. The dining hall is the kind you only ever see in movies or TV shows, with a long dining table set for a meal. Sturdy pillars shine with a black luster. An expensive-looking chandelier hangs from the ceiling. None of this I see in the CG here. Probably it once lit up the room brilliantly, but now one of its chains has snapped and it just hangs there at an angle. There's a thick layer of dust all over it. The wallpaper, which was once adorned with trendy floral patterns, is now covered with conspicuous, unidentifiable stains. Kyoji and Akane were pretty much marched into the room, but as soon as they entered, Gore went off somewhere. Right now, the only people in this room are Akane, Kyoji, and Yuka. The table setting suggests a full-course meal. Silver knives and forks gleam in the dusty room. Kyoji whispers to Akane, who's sitting next to him. Why did you come here? Because you had to sneak over alone. And why do you think I came alone? What was the point of doing that if you just follow me anyway? What, you think you're some kind of hero now? What were you going to do if you ended up in danger? What's this about danger? Yuka, who's seated at the far end of the table, rests her chin in her hands, asking Akane that question with a curious expression. Nothing, Kyoji says bitterly. Even when he's merely seated next to her, he can tell that Akane is tensing up. Oh, come on, you're still hung up about what happened? That was just a little prank. A little prank. You call that a prank? Do you have any idea what we went through down there? Consumed with anger, Kyoji instinctively grabs a fistful of the tablecloth, causing the beautifully laid out silverware to rattle discordantly atop the table. No harm done. You're here now and you're fine, right? You think you have any right to say that? Kyoji, that's bad manners. Didn't your mom teach you not to shout at the dinner table? You little... Kyoji almost lunges at Yuka, but as he stands up, Akane desperately grabs onto his shirt. Looking down, he sees Akane shake her head, her expression stiff and frightened. That's right, this isn't what he came here today to talk about. He settles back into his chair and glares at Yuka. Where's the old man? He came here, didn't he? It takes all of his willpower to keep his voice down. Yuka brings a hand to her mouth and unleashes an ominous giggle. Poor Yoshiki. Despite his appearance, he's pretty young, you know? Being called an old man at his age must feel bad. But I guess it's not that surprising. He certainly is old to us. For some reason, Yuka proudly puffs herself up. That's not the point. Did he come here or not? Yeah, he did. To his surprise, she nods. And what? Where is he now? Did he leave already? Where do you think he is? Yuka leans forward, her hands still folded under her chin. Her large eyes glint with amusement, and as always, they seem fixed entirely on Kyoji. Stop playing games. If you know where he is, just tell me. Listen, last time we saw him, he was injured. We're really worried about him. If you know where he is, could you tell us? At that point, Akane, who has held her tongue this far, gently tries to ask Yuka a question, but the girl only has eyes for Kyoji. And so, with her gaze still fixed solely on Kyoji, Yuka snaps coldly at Akane. Keep your mouth shut, Nat. How dare you? Akane seizes Kyoji's sleeve again, holding him back. I'm sorry, but please tell us. Just give us an answer and we'll leave. For this first time, Yuka turns to look at Akane. Really? I guess you do know your place. Of course you'll leave Kyoji and go home alone, won't you? He shudders. Akane, too, is at a loss for words. Why is this girl so fixated on him when they only just met a few days ago? It feels like nothing they say is getting through to her. Nothing about her makes sense. That's the only way Kyoji can put it. Akane doesn't answer Yuka's question, simply gripping Kyoji's hand under the tablecloth. Although Akane is shivering slightly, she keeps her eyes fixed resolutely on Yuka. Yuka scoffs at her and glances towards the back of the room. But that said, dinner sure is late. What's keeping you, Momone? Hey, what about her question? You'll understand everything when dinner is served, Kyoji. Huh? Akane's exclamation of suspicion is interrupted by two sudden knocks on the door. Finally, what kept you? We're starving here. Yuka gets to her feet with a smile. It was Gore who had opened the door. There's Yuka's mother. Kyoji assumes this is who Momone must be. It almost looks like Gore is cradling her to his breast. She isn't using her cane to help her walk today, as her hands are filled with a large silver plate covered by a cloche. Momone is unsteady. She walks with wobbling, precarious steps. It looks like she might drop the platter at any moment. It's hard to watch. The woman's slow, shuffling steps fill Kyoji with a terrible impatience. Gore walks beside her, seemingly supporting her in a manner that almost looks chivalrous. No, that's wrong. As Momone comes closer, Kyoji knits his brow. Gore is forcing Momone to walk. His fingers dig sharply into her arm through her fraying cardigan. The woman looks even more sickly than she did the last time Kyoji saw her. Her lips are drained of color. They sit white and dry amid her pallid face. Despite that, her bulging eyes are completely bloodshot, dyed almost entirely crimson with angry red lines. Her eyeballs constantly twitch in all directions, and her cheeks tremble with tension. When she passes Kyoji, she leaves a sour stench of drying sweat in her wake. And more than anything, her body is constantly shaking to the point where it's abnormal. It feels like a long, long time passes until Momone places a silver platter between Kyoji and Yuka. As she places the tray on the table, with an exceedingly heavy sound, Momone lets out a tormented moan. Her labored breathing so close to him sends a shiver down Kyoji's spine. Yuka places a hand on her hip while thrusting her finger towards Momone. Momone, open it.
Yeah.
No! Momone takes a step back, shrieking away. Greasy sweat beads across her temples. Open it. Do you want to keep our guests waiting? No, please don't make me do it. Gore laughs, his shoulders shaking. He bounces up and down like a rubber ball. Momone looks absolutely terrified. She and Yuka don't look like mother and daughter at all. It's more like Yuka is Momone's master. I said open it already. Jeez, you're such a handful. Not hiding her annoyance, Yuka roughly grabs Momone's arm. The girl forces Momone's hand to close around the cloche's handle. Here it is, the feast you've been waiting for. Yuka's high-pitched, clear voice intertwines with Momone's screeching and Gore's metallic laughter as the cloche rises. Resting on the silver tray is a colorful assortment of vegetables, radishes, celery, carrots, bay leaves, and... Akane clings to Kyoji. Kyoji screams something out too without even realizing it. Resting on the silver tray is a human arm. The severed cross-section exposes a bone jutting from its center. The yellowish fat coated with blood is surrounded by a reddish, swollen flesh. More blood is splattered over the vegetables. Laid before them is what was once part of a human body, now reduced to an object, a mass. Kyoji's pulse races so quickly it feels like his whole body has become his heart. He can't budge an inch. His body is frozen in place, refusing to move. No, it's not that his body is frozen, his very spirit is paralyzed. A shrill sound fills the dining hall. Finally freed from Yuka's grasp, Momone flings the cloche from her hand. Momone whimpers wordlessly, stumbling back like a hysterical child and landing on her backside. She scrambles away on all fours, only to shriek again when she comes across the cloche she herself threw. Seeing the cloche lying at their feet, Kyoji and Akane find the strength to get up and avoid it. It merely covers the platter, but it feels just as repulsive as the arm it conceals. I'm sorry. Oh, pipe down. What's so scary about this? You're such a crybaby, Momone. As Momone cowers on the floor and cradles her head, Yuka kicks her in amusement while pointing at the arm sitting on the table. Now, Kyoji, look closely. Does that pendant look familiar? Pendant. There's a human arm sitting on the plate. What does a pendant have to do with... Akane clings to Kyoji, shaking uncontrollably. She gulps in shock. Just then, the sight before him properly registers in his mind. A thin leather cord is coiled around the wrist, holding a strange stone that's... There's no mistaking it. It's the pendant Yoshiki was wearing. And on top of that, those calloused and slightly flattened fingers, they clearly held down the strings of a guitar, bled, healed, and hardened anew. A guitarist's fingers. So that's your answer. All the fear drains from Kyoji. Anger boils in its place. It feels like all the blood in his body is seething with pure rage. He played the guitar so well. Kyoji never had a man like him in his life before. Gyoji didn't like him at first. It's not like they spoke all that much either. They probably spent less than a single day's worth of time together. But there was something that made you want to talk to him. Something told him that talking to this man would make him gain something he'd never known before, and would otherwise never learn. But Yoshiki can't play the guitar anymore, far from it. Yuka folds her arms. That's right, it's Yoshiki's arm. Tasty looking, isn't it? Don't you think the severed section looks especially tempting? I went to the trouble of cutting it off, so I figured I'd give it to Gore as a treat. But then Yuka furrows her brow in displeasure. But we couldn't touch it. Gore couldn't, and neither could I. I wonder why. Her whisper almost sounds like she's muttering to herself. There isn't so much as a hint of regret or remorse to her words. Her voice is utterly cold. Even someone who accidentally broke an object would surely express more emotion. Anger fills Kyoji's body, filling his vision with so much red it blots out the color of the blood before him. He starts to step forward, spurred by so much anger, and is blown away all conscious thought, but before he can get far, someone else lunges past him. Just then, a sharp crack reverberates through the dining hall. It's Akane. Just a moment ago, she was trembling behind him. But now her features are contorted in anger as she stands before Yuka, her hand still on the girl's cheek. Horrible. This is horrible. You're horrible. Why do you do things like this? Do you have any idea what you did? Akane. He pulls her back by the shoulder, stopping her from grabbing Yuka. You can't fix a severed arm. It's not like a lizard tail that grows back. You can't do that. Akane, stop. He tries to interrupt her. Yuka is motionless. She hasn't looked up or said a word. Yet somehow, that is the scariest reaction she could make. It terrifies Kyoji, making him fear she's planning to do something to Akane. And you don't get to say you're too little to understand. I won't let you get away with this. Akane keeps shouting, ignoring Kyoji's attempts to stop her when Yuka stirs. Akane instantly starts to shiver. In a snap, she's pale and silent. As he stands, facing Akane, between her and Yuka behind him, Kyoji peers into Akane's eyes and sees Yuka's reflection in them. She's smiling. Even with Yuka's disheveled hair covering her face, Kyoji can see her lips peeking out from between her bangs, twisting upwards into a smile. He fearfully turns around, seeing her large eyes fixed onto Akane as they glint, menacing, almost predatory. You're a nuisance. Those words punctuate the outbreak of pandemonium. Gore lets out a high-pitched shout, springs into the air, and lands behind Akane. He lifts his arms in a dance-like movement, then swings them back down towards her. Akane! Kyoji reflexively pushes her out of the way, causing Gore's arms to slice through empty air. Kyoji doesn't know what Gore is up to, but some instinct of his warns him that whatever he's planning is dangerous. Stumbling across the floor, Kyoji bumps into Momone, but he manages to regain his balance as quickly as she falls. Akane, let's go! On impulse, Kyoji grabs Yoshiki's arm off the platter and starts running. He doesn't have the chance to reflect on how nasty or creepy it is, but some instinct of his tells him what he has to do. Akane runs right beside him. There's no sign of Yuka and Gore in pursuit, but their laughter echoes loudly behind them. What is it with those two? They're not normal, completely messed up. Let's go to the police as soon as we can get out of here. Yoshiki is probably dead. Gore must have killed him. The arm feels cold, hard, and heavy in his hands. Some part of Kyoji's mind must be completely numb, allowing only anger and grief to fill his heart. They run down the corridor, and so silent that the gruesome scene in the dining hall and the arm Kyoji now cradles feel like nothing but a bad dream. They reach the dim kitchen, which is still every bit as dusty and filthy as it was when Kyoji came in. He lunges at the knob and pushes the door open. He doesn't want to spend a single extra second here. He has to go inside and look for help, and then... The door opens. Sunlight burns in his eyes, momentarily blinding him. But the moment they step into the light, Kyoji and Akane both gasp. What is this? Kyoji doesn't know either. He knows they went back the way they came, but so why? How is what they're seeing possible? Before them is a long corridor stretching as far as the eye can see. Wooden doors lie both sides at regular intervals. It's like the world before them is a huge trompe l'oeil painting come to life. We probably took a wrong turn. No, that's not possible. A corridor this big can't fit in this house to begin with. Akane's right. The corridor clearly dwarfs the mansion's outside dimensions. But it's still right here in front of us. Let's head back for the time being. We probably went into the wrong corridor on the way here. Akane nods anxiously. Kyoji grabs Akane's hand with his right, while tickling Yoshiki's arm under his left. He turns around, carefully reopening the door they just went through. Once again, his eyes widen in disbelief. Huh? They find themselves in another unfamiliar room. There's nothing but gray. That's their first impression. On closer inspection, the walls are all naked, unpainted concrete. There are small, faint, circular depressions and dark gray stains covering the rough texture of the walls. It gives the impression of a bleak, cold, sterile prison cell. There is a barred window, but it's so close to the ceiling that even if Kyoji and Akane were to stand on each other's shoulders, they still wouldn't reach it. In fact, this room is probably almost 10 meters tall. What is this? Akane, let's get out of here. Kyoji yanks hard on Akane's arm. He opens the door behind him again, expecting to emerge back in the corridor, but that doesn't happen either. What the hell is going on? Now they're in a Japanese-style room. A large sliding door fills their eyes. Drawn on its surface in red letters are the words, "Try again! Those motherfuckers are playing with us!" To the left, there's another sliding door with a glass panes in its top half. Through them, they can see a veranda and a dry landscape garden past that. Dragging Akane by the arm, he opens the sliding door. What the hell is going on? He feels like Alice in Wonderland. In the next room, everything's much bigger than Kyoji and Akane. The table, the chairs, the bed tower above their heads, save for the door on the other side of the wall, which is so small it looks like only a dwarf would be able to squeeze through it. Written beside the door, also in red letters, is the word BINGO! What do they want from us? Akane's expression contorts. She looks like she might burst into tears. They reopen the door they just came in from, now finding themselves in an entirely different room. Kyoji and Akane start running blindly through the rooms. Each door they open reveals a different scene. One leads to a small room full of antique dolls, each of them broken in a different way. Another leads to a room full of coffins, like something out of a Dracula movie. Or Shadowgate. Running around like this makes Kyoji queasy and dizzy. It reminds him of the dreams he's had when he's sick with fever. This is a nightmare. How many times has he felt this way since moving back to this town? Oh, right, our phones! Akane takes her cell phone out of her pocket and starts pressing keys. A soft dial tone emerges from the speaker. Hello? Akane? Ah, hello, Mom? Akane's expression brightens. Please help us! We're at... Ah! But all of a sudden, Akane lets out a screech and hurls her phone away. It clatters across the floor and hits the wall, allowing Kyoji to see gore on the small LCD screen. Wearing a nasty smile on his face, he's dressed in an apron with a ladle in his hand. Oh my, that's awful! My, that's just awful! I have to save you! I'm on my way! Kya! Don't even bother. There's no getting out of here, Kyoji. Yuka's voice comes from nowhere in particular. Her tone suggests they're being toyed with, being watched. Stop! No, what's going on here? She's got speakers and cameras set up somewhere. She's watching us. But my phone! They switch it out or hijack the frequency or something. There's a million ways to do this. Forget this. Let's just go. Let's just get the hell out of here. He makes his confident declaration and starts walking, but in truth, he's overwhelmed with anxiety. None of this is possible. This is all just another hallucination. Maybe they were placed under hypnosis or something without them even noticing. As he tries to reassure Akane, who's on the verge of tears, Kyoji opens one door after another. But even if Yuka and Gore somehow hypnotize him, when did it happen? Where does reality end and the nightmare begin? Okay, guys. That's where we're gonna end it for now. Yeah, they're in the middle of the corridor, and unfortunately we don't have any CGs for this, which sucks. Like, that kind of actually sucks, because I kind of want to see what's going on. I have to think of it with my mind, and, you know, it is what it is. But alright, guys, we'll be back later on with more Gore Screaming Show, you can bet. I'm out.